please join with me in the reading of God's Word as we find it in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Shall we pray, giving thanks for these wonderful words and what they describe, and also pray that they might be given by the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. First of all, in conviction of sin, that we will know our need of Christ and of our need of reconciliation with God. And then we might have that blessing of being justified by faith, which is also given from God by his Spirit. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee through Christ thy Son. We come through him who is the new and living way. We come through him who said, I am the door. If any man will enter in, then we must enter in by thee, Lord Jesus. Enter in by him who is named Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Also, we think of that name as given, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Father, we think of the wonder of thy grace, that he who is Lord of lords and King of kings was willing to humble himself to the death of the cross, to bear our sin and shame, to die while we were yet sinners, as we read here. We pray, Father, for the Spirit to open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to receive these words in the right way, that thy name might be honored, that we might be saved, that we might then also live to thy glory, that we might be a blessing to others, that the church will again be a light upon a hill and a salting salt in the world, even in every nation. We pray for that blessing, Father, through the name of Christ. We give thanks also for other blessings that we have been given, the natural blessings, the many blessings that we have in nature. We pray for those who do not have these blessings as others do, where there is storm and where there is starvation. We pray for thy blessing on those who do not have blessings and freedom in their nations, as we do in ours. We pray also that thou would give the blessings of peace where there is war. We pray for those in older age that become feeble and have fears and anxieties and pains. We pray for those in sickness and injury that they might experience healing, if it could be thy will. In all of this, Father, we pray that thou would not only give us those earthly blessings, but above all, wherever they become trials and tribulations, that they might be, as we read, working patience. Patience in trusting thee. We ask it all through Christ. Amen. We've come to a very high point in this letter of Paul to the church at Rome. It is an amazing statement. We looked at it somewhat last week, but I would like to look at it again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more blessed, nothing more glorious for us on this earth than to have that blessing. That is the beginning of all blessings. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We read last week in chapter 4, verse 24, where earlier God had described the blessings to Abraham, and then in the last part of the chapter we read, but it is for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. If we believe on him. That's not a light thing. It's not just to believe about him. It's not just to believe a historic truth, though it is that. It is a historic fact that Christ died in Jerusalem, that he was buried, that he was raised again from the dead by God the Father. But he was raised for this purpose stated here, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That isn't just a broad statement for all the world. It's for those who believe, those who are justified then by faith. Oh, what a great and glorious statement. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some might say, well, we all have that. And some might think we have that because we go to church, because we've been brought up in Christian homes, because we've been in a place where this was always known. That isn't what it states. It states, therefore, being justified by faith. It's actually becoming justified. Therefore, being justified. It could possibly be read as if we always had that, or if it was on a broader scale. But if we look at it in its context, if we go back to Romans chapter 3, where we read that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. That is not a justified world. It is a guilty world. And that includes all of us, that all the world may become guilty before God. That includes you. Even if you were brought up in a church. That includes you if you are a preacher. God saw you as guilty. Have you seen yourself as guilty? And only when you know Romans 3 can you know Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is called the new and living way. That's what takes place, and that's why Paul could say when he wrote to the church at Rome, or the church at Corinth rather, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's a new relationship with God, first of all. That's what justification is. That's what peace is. Peace with God. If we go farther into this epistle, we'll read how we are at war with God. In chapter 8, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. We do not heed the law of God. We are rather at enmity against God, and we are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For us to believe this wonderful blessing, we must also believe what God says about us as sinners. He states that further in this same chapter in the verses that we read. In verse 8, But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saw you and me as a sinner when he went to the cross. He knew when we would be born. He knew how we would live. And he knew the name for us was a sinner. Only a sinner can be and needs to be justified. If you were born righteous, if you lived righteous, there's no need for justification or to be justified by faith. And it is enough just to say broadly, oh, well, we're all sinners. You and I must learn that we are sinners. We need the Holy Spirit for that. We read in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Before the Holy Spirit comes, we are dead in sin. So dead in sin that we don't realize it. We are sinners. We are walking in the ways of sin. As Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said, walking according to the course of this world, according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. We, Paul said, as others. Paul, the Hebrew. Paul, the Pharisee, was a child of wrath with the Gentiles. And you and I, whether we're a Gentile or a Jew, whether we're born in the confines of the church or whether we were born in the world, we together, in our natural state, are children of wrath. That's why the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We cannot see this wonderful description of God's kingdom if we haven't been born again. We cannot see the need of it. We cannot see the worth of it. Listen again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's true of everyone that is in the kingdom of God. It is not true of even one, not any, if they're outside of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God divides between those who have believed to the saving of their soul and those who have not. That's where the line is drawn. We must be born again to see that kingdom. We must be born again to see that we're outside of it. We must be born again to have a desire to enter into it, and of a willingness to enter in solely and only by faith that we have in God, knowing that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, but knowing that that God cannot receive any one of us except through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as being one with the Father. Jesus, as having become one with us, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Yes, you and I are under the law, guilty. We're not above the law. We're not standing on the law righteous. No matter how many outward things we may have better than some people, we may have washed the outside the cup, but none of us have loved God as we should have. None of us have loved our neighbor as God has commanded us. And that is to love our neighbor as ourself, to love God above all. When we realize that we are guilty in regard to that, then we will come to God in repentance. Come to God in agreement. Come to God in sorrow. come also to God in faith, knowing that He has a way through His Son, the way of justification, the way that was the watchword at the Reformation, over against works that any man could do, over against anything that the church itself could do for any of its members, some even teaching that justification or salvation or putting away of sins could be bought for money. Terrible lies, terrible crimes were committed in the name of religion. An awful way of corrupt works and even wicked works that would make one more abominable in the sight of God than without those things. Luther came to see the need of it himself, first trying to work his way back to God, doing many things in penance, doing many things that he had been taught, but finally hearing the Word of God when it stated, "The just shall live by faith." We can only begin to live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He who said, "Except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you." We must go to that cross by faith and partake of Him by faith. That's all included in what is described here and summarized here, therefore being justified by faith. Not as an act or a work. Even faith is itself a gift of God. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he stated in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." It is grace, it is undeserved, it is unearned, but God makes it known to us through faith, through what is written in His Word, through the faith that we then receive and have as a gift, that we can believe that Word to be true, true of God and true of us. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No boasting, only thankfulness. No place to boast, only a place to be humbled. Humbled before God, and humbled before others as well, because we are sinners like the worst of sinners. I think it'd be safe to say that every one of us has a sin and some sin that others do not have, that we may be alone guilty of before God and more guilty than others. With some it might be the sin, outward sins of immorality and drunkenness, thievery and murder. Other sins it might be the sin of pride, that which is as smoke in the nostrils of the Almighty God, that which God hates, which is an abomination in His sight, because no one has any reason to be proud. Not proud before God, not proud before our fellow men. There's no reason for it. There's no ground to stand on. Pride is a lie. When we come to this, when we come to learn, as Abram did, as we saw it in the last chapter, he who believed that God justified the ungodly. That's what we read in chapter 4, verse 5. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Have you had such a faith in the Word of God and such a faith from the Word of God that you believed when it told you that you were ungodly, that the Word was right, the Word was true, and it was for you, and you came to believe it? Came like the publican, then stating as he did, some mighty come on his breast, knowing that he had a heart full of sin, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." The Lord Jesus said, that man went to his house justified. Yes, justified. When we agree with God in our sinfulness, and we agree with God that He's right, when we agree with God that He gave us Savior, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the only way for my salvation, the only way for your salvation, when God teaches us that, and when we come as little children in submission to that, we can go to our house justified. I remember the night in praying for pardon and justification, that I could go in my house justified. I could tell my wife, now I know I'm saved. I knew many things before that. I had done many things. There were many ups and downs. But only then was I saved. Only then could I have this blessing, therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, maker of the loving God who gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, how this needs to be shouted from the housetops, how this needs to be known in every street, in every home, in every nation, throughout the whole world. Is it any wonder that the Lord Jesus said, go ye out into all the world and preach the gospel? Preach it to every creature. Because it's needed. There's not one that does not need it. And everyone does need it. The sad thing is today, not everyone knows that. Not everyone believes that. But what a privilege it is to tell you, and I hope, as I said in the beginning, you will believe it and say with Paul, therefore being justified by faith, we, you and me, and others with it, have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.